of the week is Parashat Yitro, and we are on page 407. It's not the beginning of the Parsha, but that's the part of the Parsha that I want to concentrate on today. 407, chapter 20. The Parsha of Yitro is the Parsha of the receiving of the Torah, of Kabbalat HaTorah. We know that when we read something in the Torah, the power of what's written in this parsha is the power that is there in potential for us today as well. So when we read Parashat Yitro, the parasha of the receiving of the Torah, it's basically a Shabbat, a time, and the week leading to it, especially the Shabbat where we read it, is a time where we can re-accept the Torah today. So I want to understand what really took place. Obviously, it's a very broad topic and we won't be able to cover but one aspect today about the receiving of the Torah and what does it mean for us today as well. I want to look at the Ten Commandments, the Luchot that were given, and via it examine what this event was then and what it continues to be till today. So I want you to look at the beginning of chapter 20 on page 407. Chapter 20, verse number 1. Okay? God spoke all these statements saying. So the preface, the opening statement, for before giving us the Ten Commandments. The next pasuk is already the first commandment. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt, right? So the preface, the opening to the Ten Commandments says, God spoke all these statements saying. Now, part of it is a common opening that is written in the Torah many, many times. God spoke saying, or God said, God spoke to the Jewish people saying. But there is an addition here, and this is all these statements. Okay? And based on the fact that it's written here, all these statements, what seems superfluous, because right after, it's written what God said, and we see that these are the statements that God said. So what do the words, all these statements, add to us? So Rashi explains, and it's a famous Chazal, that in the beginning, when Hashem started speaking the Ten Commandments, he said at once, all these things, all Ten Commandments. Now, did the Jewish people differentiate between one and another? No. If you hear 10 statements at once, you don't comprehend anything. You don't hear it. Later on, he started to say one by one. The first commandment, I am Hashem, your God, and then the Jewish people heard what he was saying in understood the words. Then he said the second one, you should not have any other gods. Then the Jewish people stopped him. It was too overwhelming to hear it directly from Hashem, and they asked that Moshe will continue. So the last 8, Moshe said one by one. But referring to the words of Hashem, in the beginning he said all those things together, and only then he said 1 and 2 separately. And the question is, what's the purpose of saying everything together when anyhow you can differentiate between the words and you don't know what was said? It's a famous question, and as usual in the Torah, there are many, many answers, and we'll address it in one way today. This is our first question based on the Psukim, right? God spoke all these statements saying. But before we go further, and before we try to answer this question, there is a much more basic question here that the answer for it will be the answer for all, for the second question too, the first one that we asked about all things together. And as we'll see, it will be an answer to many other questions that the Ten Commandments represent to us. So what is the basic questions that has to be asked about these Ten Commandments? The Jewish people gathered in front of Mount Sinai to receive the Torah. What they heard on Mount Sinai were just Ten Commandments, meaning 10 things, 10 commandments. And I don't like to call it commandments because it's not really, as you'll see soon, a good translation. I would use the Hebrew term dibrot, statements. Okay. Hashem said 10 statements that include 10 mitzvot. It tells us what to do and what not to do. But they are not called mitzvot, right? And the question is, but it seems that we have to do or we can't do positive or negative things that we positive things that we have to do, negative things that we should refrain from. But the question is, what was the criteria for choosing 10 out of 613 and putting this on the Luchot? In fact, it presents a problem because we are told that we don't know what is really more important in terms of mitzvot. What makes a mitzvah important is the fact that Hashem said it, that Hashem told us to do it or not to do it. And we don't know even what the reward for them are and which mitzvot have more reward and which less, right? So, and we are told you cannot pick and choose. You have to do all 613. So what's the point of taking 10 mitzvot, 10 things, right, from the 613 and giving it to us on Luchot, on the tablets, two tablets, right? And obviously singling out 10 out of 613, what seems to contradict what we know about mitzvot. So that's our first question. And the basic one that when we understand this and deal with it, we will be able to answer many more questions that we will ask and answer also the question about all the things together. Commentaries, all of them, explain why 10 were chosen. A while ago, a few years ago, when I prepared a class about the Ten Commandments, I came across the words of the Maharal about this question. I understood the words that he used, but I didn't understand the idea or the reason behind the answers that he gives. And it was very wonderful for me to come across via preparing today this class to find a way to understand it. Okay? So what I'm explaining today is from the book Or Gedaliahu of Rav Gedaliah Shor, who was the head of the yeshiva of Chaim Berlin in Brooklyn. His children are rabbis today in different communities teaching Torah. So he explains it. He doesn't quote the Maharal. He quotes other books, but basically he explains the idea of the Maharal. What does the Maharal say? The Maharal says that we should differentiate between the 10 things that are written on the Luchot and the rest of the 603. Because while the purpose of the 303 is to perfect us, each mitzvah adds perfection. In each mitzvah in a particular area, in a specific, unique way, is perfecting us. The Ten Commandments perfect us too, because they are also mitzvot, but they also bind us to Hashem. They are connectors to Hashem. And it bewildered me because we understand that as we become more and more perfect, anyhow, we connect more to Hashem. Because the more holiness we attain, the more negativity we push away, right? The more suitable we are to connect to Hashem. So it seems that all the mitzvot connect us to Hashem. So what's unique about this 10? And why are those connectors to Hashem? If we try to look at the Ten Commandments and think, why are those on the tablets? We will see right away that it's not necessarily what we would explain as the basics of Judaism. I'll give just one example. The concept of kashrut, which is one of the three pillars, right? We speak about kashrut, right? And Shabbat. And Shabbat, Kashrut, and family purity as the foundations, right? So kashrut is not in the Ten Commandments altogether, right? So we need another explanation. So what does it mean that these Ten Commandments are creating a bond in a way that only they created? And the bond that is created via the other mitzvot are a consequence of the bond that was created in this ten. When we look at the way the Torah refers to the ten mitzvot, to the ten commandments, we see that the Torah uses a certain term. I want you to look, please, at page 514. Okay, 515 in English. Hashem speaks to Moshe, asking him to write on the second set of tablets after the golden calf, after the fact that the first tablets were broken, right? Hashem told Moshe to make tablets, right? And Hashem tells what to write, right? So Hashem says as follows, in verse number 27, we start. Hashem said to Moses, the top of 515, write these words for yourself, for according to these words have I sealed the covenant with you and Israel. Let's continue. He remained there with Hashem for 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread and he did not drink water. At that time, he wrote all that is written in the Torah. Hashem showed him the Torah in front of him while he was on the mountain, and Moshe wrote. And then the Torah says, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So the Torah calls the Ten Commandments a covenant, a brit. Okay, Aseret Divrei HaBrit, the words of the covenant. And which are those? Aseret HaDvarim. These 10 statements that are written on the tablets. Because right before, Hashem says, write on the tablet. Right? He wrote on the tablet. So, Brit is the name for the 10 covenant. And this is the of the 10 statements. And this is the key to the understanding of the question that we have. I want to show you one or two other places. If you go to 986, we are already in Deuteronomy. Moshe is speaking to the Jewish people before he passes away, and he describes past events. And among them, he says as follows. If you look at verse number 9, 987 is the page, verse number 9. Then I ascended the mountain to receive the tablets of stone. So we speak again about the tablets and on them the Ten Commandments, Ten Divots, the tablets of the covenant. You see again, okay, that the tablets create a special covenant. Of course, Hashem made a covenant, general covenant with the Jewish people. But there is a special covenant discussed referring to the Ten Commandments that Hashem sealed with you, and I remained on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Bread I didn't eat, water I didn't, bread I didn't eat, and water I did not drink, and go further to 10. Okay. And Hashem gave me the two stone tablets inscribed with the finger of Hashem. And on them were all the words that Hashem spoke with you on the mountain from the midst of the fire on the day of the congregation. So here also, it's called covenant. Now, what's the point of the covenant? What is the specialty of it? There is a general covenant called Brit Chorev that Hashem made with us in general as a nation, that we will be his nation forever. Right, and he will be a God for us forever. But there is something specific that is called Aseret Adivrot, the 10 things that were written on the tablets, ואתה קונסידר דה ברית, אין אינפקט, וקול איט שתי לוחות הברית. Right, the two tablets of the covenant. So we want to understand what this covenant is all about. When Hashem said to the Jewish people, the ten they brought together, and they didn't understand the wording. Obviously, it was not for no reason. When Hashem said it, the ten they brought became the essence of the Jewish people. They entered them. The ten divrot were concealed inside the Jewish people. And I want to explain it a little bit more. When Hashem created the world, how did he create it? Ten sayings, ten and ten, ten sayings, ten divrot. There is a connection. Hashem sets ten statements, and via those, the world came into being. Why? When we want to build something, we have many, many stages. First, we have an idea. Then we think how we can accomplish it. Then we make a plan. Then we do it. It's a long process. By Hashem, the very fact that he wants something, that he wills something, creates a reality. When we say Hashem said, it's not necessarily in the ways that you understand saying, right? A saying is an expression of a will. I say what I want to say. And we use it to say, I want to say something. Meaning, I express a want, right? So being that Hashem wanted the world and wanted it in 10 stages, so we speak about 10 sayings that Hashem said and they created a reality. The giving of the Torah was a new beginning, a new creation. Something new were created when the Jewish people were at Sinai. When they heard the Ten Commandments, ten statements of Hashem created the Jewish people, meaning that those sayings that were told to us, right, created us. I want to read the verse of the Ohr Eliyahu describing it. It's very powerful and beautiful. He says, when Hashem spoke to the Jewish people and told them the Ten Commandments, they were connected to Hashem. Blessed be He. Because they became like the sayings, the Ten Commandments became like the sayings that with them Hashem created the world. The same way that with the statements that Hashem said at the time of creation, the creation became a reality. It came about. The same way when Hashem said, I am Hashem, your God, it was creating a reality of knowing, of knowledge that Hashem is God by each and every one of us. And we knew clearly that Hashem is God, that he said and it became. And through this divrot, we were connected to Hashem because the statements of Hashem became who we are. And that's the meaning of the Brit, the covenant. Meaning Hashem created the giving of the Torah. What did he create? He created Jew. A Jewish nation and a Jewish individual. And what is the essence of the Jewish individual? Ten commandments that penetrated him and are a reality inside him. And this happened when Hashem said all ten commandments together. It was like planting something inside us. We'll come to the term planting again later on in the classroom. And you'll see why I used exactly this particular term. Okay, our sages say, maybe I'll skip this, I don't think we left time for all of it, but what the Ohr Eliyahu explains is the following, that when the Jewish people heard, I am Hashem your God, their heart was filled with recognition and a love to Hashem. They really had inside them a total clarity and a total feeling, and they knew, I am Hashem, your God, and it filled them to that extent that they couldn't love anything else. The heart was full with the love of Hashem. I don't mean they could not love another person. I speak about other ideas, other things, other philosophies. They were full with the knowledge of Hashem to the extent that there was no doubt whatsoever it was their essence. When Hashem said, don't kill, let's take another example, don't murder, it penetrated them to that extent that they couldn't murder. It was out of the question. They didn't have any desire, not only to murder practically, but our sages say about some things that they are like murdering, like embarrassing somebody in public is like murdering him. Because many times we say, I would have preferred to be swallowed in the ground than to be there at that moment, right? Meaning there are situations where we feel that they are like death. They are equal to death. So at that time that they heard, don't kill, they were so filled with this statement of Hashem that it couldn't even penetrate their mind, the concept of murder, not only practically doing. And they became full with love to every creature of Hashem. It was out of the question. This explains to us another famous question. I told you we will raise more questions and they'll all be answered by this concept. The 10th commandment is don't covet. Don't desire anything that belongs to somebody else. And if you don't desire anything that belongs to somebody else, you don't know what jealousy is. You're very happy when somebody else has everything and anything, regardless if you have it or not. Obviously, it's a very, very high level. And it's something that doesn't have to express itself in action. It's forbidden to desire it in our heart. And it seems impossible to do. How could you? But when we heard, don't covet, lo tachmod, it was ingrained in us in such a way that it's like the word of Hashem was inside us and it created a reality of not being able to covet. This was our level at the time of Sinai. And this is what connected us to Hashem in such a strong way. This is the meaning that these 10 commandments are a brit, a covenant, not just mitzvot. We don't look at this covenant as mitzvot, even though they tell us, do this, don't do this, but we look at it as statements of Hashem, and that's what they were, that entered us, and we have it in our DNA even today. There is a famous story, I think it is about the Kotzke Rebbe, that one of his disciples spoke to him, and somehow they discussed money, and when the person mentioned money, the Kotzke Rebbe was so removed from anything physical that when he heard the word money, he said, money, fe. And his student said that for a half a year, he could not look at money. It was like the words of Hashem via the mouth of the Kotzke Rebbe because he was so holy. And it affected the student in a way that the Ten Commandments affected us. It was out of the question. So if you feel so strongly that if Hashem did not give you something, it's not yours. And there is no reason for you to want it, then you don't want it. You know, there is a famous explanation on this Dibra given by the Ibn Ezra that he says the same way that a simpleton person without anything special to him or to his family or to his possessions or just a simple person won't desire to marry the princess, right? The daughter of the king, because it's out of the question. The same way, we can fulfill lo tachmod. We can come to the point that we don't desire because this commandment is ingrained in us. This will explain to us something that seems technical, but obviously in the Torah there is no technicalities. But if we compare the first commandments to the second commandments, the commandments were are written twice in the Torah. Once, when they were given on the seventh day of Sivan, for the first time, on the 50th day after coming out of Egypt. The first tablets, the first time we received the Ten Commandments. We received the Ten Commandments later on, after the Golden Calf, again. Hashem, after Moshe broke the first tablets and after prayers and forgiveness, Hashem told Moshe to prepare another set of tablets, and Hashem wrote the letters on them, right? Engraved the letters on them. And we got again the Ten Commandments. When we compare, there are some differences between the first tablets and the last tablets. For example, and we'll soon come back to it, we know that referring to the mitzvah of Shabbat, in the first tablets it's written, remember the Shabbat. And the reason given for Shabbat is the fact that we came out that because Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on Shabbat. In the second command, the tablets, it's written, guard the Shabbat. And the reason is because we came out of Egypt. So it's an obvious big difference between the two. There is another difference that doesn't look to us so significant, and we might not even realize it. But obviously, if this is how it is, there is a reason. So if you open 969, where the second set of tablets is written, and keep your hand also at our place at 409. So it's 409. No, 4. Okay, yeah, 409 and 969. Okay. We will look at the last five commandments, the second tablets. Okay, so we are going to page 411. Verse number 13. Okay, you shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your fellow. You shall not covet your fellow's house, and so on. Okay? So we read five commandments. I'm going now to 971. I'll read the last five commandments, and I want you to pay attention to the difference. So we are now at verse number 17. You shall not kill, and you shall not commit adultery, and you shall not steal. And you shall not bear vain witness against your fellow, and you shall not covet your fellow's wife, etc. The covenants, the commandments are the same, the order is the same, but there is a very small difference that is very significant. In the first tablets, it says, don't kill, don't steal. No connection between them. In the second, it's don't kill and don't steal. And don't. Four times and that connect the five commandments, what we don't have in the first one. And it's because of the reason that we are just discussing. If the commandments are a list of do's and don'ts, you give a person a list of things that you want him to do. So you tell him, do this, and do this, and do this, and do this. But he said, it's not just a list of mitzvot. It's statements that Hashem engraved inside us. In the first commandments, we were on the level that I'm describing. It was before the Golden Calf. The Jewish people were on a very, very high level. And at that point, at the first commandments, the covenant was made. Luchot HaBrit, it became the covenant, Aseret HaDibrot, Dibrot HaBrit, the Dibrot of covenant. The engraving of those covenant inside us happened at the time that we were at Sinai. And that's why it's 10 things that were planted in us. It's not don't do this and don't do this and don't do this. After the golden calf, our level was already a little lower, or significantly lower. Then the Torah gives it as a list of things that we have or don't have to do. So the Torah adds, well, this will explain to us also why in the first commandment, in the first tablets, it's written, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat LeKodesh. Remember the day of Shabbat to sanctify it. In the second set, it's written, guard the Shabbat. And our sages explain that in the first commandments, by saying Zachor, remember, which is a positive thing, a covenant, a commandment to do something, we hear about all the positive commandments of Shabbat. It includes all the positive commandments of Shabbat, like make kiddush, eat 3 times during the day, all the things that we have to do on Shabbat. That's in Zachor. That's on the pshat level, on the simple level. Shamor, guard yourself, is stay away from negativity. Make sure not to. What is guard yourself? Make sure not to. Right? So it includes all, I'm sorry, the negative commandments of Shabbat, like don't cook, don't separate things, and so on, the 39 categories that we cannot do on Shabbat. That's the pshat level. But there is another explanation that Rav Shor gives along the lines of what we are discussing. And this is the following. When you remember Shabbat, when the concept of Shabbat is ingrained in you, and you grasp what Shabbat is, the greatness of Shabbat, the holiness of Shabbat, and by the way, Shabbat is also a covenant. Besides of the fact that it's part of the covenant of the Ten Commandments, right? It's written that Shabbat is a covenant between us and Hashem, right? But this aside, when you hear that when the concept of Shabbat enters you and you remember it, it fills you. Nobody has to tell you, be careful, don't turn on light. When might we turn on light on Shabbos? When we, for whatever reason, not aware at the second that it's Shabbat. We forgot it for a moment, we didn't pay attention to it, and automatically we turn on the light. Meaning, we have to be told, be careful. But for somebody, the Shabbat is a reality that is inside him with all the greatness of Shabbat. He remembers what Shabbat is on an ongoing basis. For him, the right statement is, remember the Shabbat. Meaning, I gave you a potential inside you to be on a level that Shabbat will fill you all the 26 hours that it lasts. And hopefully, during the week, it will accompany you as well. Okay? So, what we see is that the Ten Commandments are more than obligations, and they differ from the rest of the mitzvot. There is an additional aspect to them. They, of course, tell us what to do and what not to do. They perfect us, each one in its own way, and via it, it makes us closer to Hashem. But those 10 are way beyond. This will be also the key, and I won't go into it today, but this will be also the key to the understanding of why exactly 10 and why those 10. They correspond to the 10 sayings that Hashem created the world with. It's a rehearsal of creation, but here what is created is a Jew, is the Jewish nation. And the same kind of statements that were necessary to bring the world into being are also in the Ten Commandments that create the essence of a Jew. Now, as we mentioned before, Hashem said all Ten Commandments at once, and then he started to say one by one. I am Hashem, your God, and the Jewish people differentiated the word between the words. They understood what Hashem says. They got the content. And then he said, no other God should be for you, right? And then the Jewish people could not take any more. They were overwhelmed by hearing Hashem on such a high level. Hashem elevated them to a very high level of prophecy. Almost like Moshe, not like Moshe, but almost like Moshe. And it was very, very overwhelming. They were afraid that Hashem is granting them gifts that they don't deserve. And later on, when they will have to make themselves deserve and come to this level on their own, they won't be able to. It's too much. It's like you give a child $10 million and you anticipate that he'll use it properly. They felt it's too much for us. We want Moshe to continue and obviously we'll accept everything. It will be as if Hashem speaks, because Hashem spoke via, so to speak, the mouth of Moshe. Okay? So our sages said information, and it's a famous Chazal saying of our sages. Our sages say that after they heard the first commandment, they passed out. Couldn't take it, passed out. They were out. And then Hashem revived them, brought them back to life for the resurrection. And then they heard the second. Okay, and so on. After the second, they passed out again. Hashem made them alive again. And then they were able, brought them back to life, and then they were able to hear another statement. So let's examine it. How did Hashem bring them back to life? So our sages say that Hashem used a du, a tal, that has the power to revive. Tal shel tria, a du that has the power to revive. Obviously, it's not a physical term, right? Go all over the world, collect du, you won't revive, right, people with it. You don't resurrect dead, the dead with it. Obviously, it has a deeper meaning. And interestingly enough, we know that the resurrection will be the final stage of redemption after Mashiach comes, right? And our sages tell us how we will be revived, come back to life then. What will cause the resurrection? And our sages say, okay, that when the Jewish people will be revived, it will be again via etal, edu, but they call it Tal Shel Torah Mechayehu. The do of resurrection will bring the person back to life. The do of, I'm sorry, I didn't translate right, the do of Torah will resurrect you. Meaning, in other words, it's the Torah itself that resurrects. And this explains to us what happened at Sinai. Hashem said the statement, it was too overwhelming. They couldn't take it, they died. This very statement of Torah, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt, right? It's a statement of Torah. This statement of Torah will brought the Jewish people back to life. It was like a do gives life, right? To the grass, to the greenery, right? The Torah itself, this very statement, when it penetrated them, it gave them again life. I said before, I'll come back to it. I said Hashem planted in us the Ten Commandments. The words of Hashem that are on the tablets are in within us. And the same way that the 10 sayings of Hashem give existence to creation till today, the same way it will be these statements of Torah that are inside us that will give us the life when Mashiach comes, And this is what brought the Jewish people back to life right after they passed out. Because the words of Hashem give existence. So yes, it got overwhelmed and they passed out. Then it penetrated inside them, and this is life. That's why we say, V'chayei olam nata betochein. We say it every day when we bless Hashem for giving us the Torah. We say, V'chayei olam, eternal life, is planted inside us. How? On Sinai, when he planted in us 10 sayings, the 10 commandments, the Aseret HaDibrot, words of Hashem. That's why we don't call it in Hebrew commandments. It's not just 10 mitzvot. It's 10 statements of Hashem that are inside us and give us life. That's why we say the Torah is life. Ki hem chayen. Right? In chapter 1 in Tehillim, King David says, V'chayei olam nata betocheinu. Hashem, I'm sorry, ki hem chayenu. The words of Torah are our life. It's not just that our life is around them, that they are the meaning of our life. This is the source of our life. We can understand it or relate to it maybe better on the national level. We are alive today. The whole world is against us. We go through a terrible time. 7 fronts that we fight, right? And we are here. And we'll stay here. And what is the source of our existence? What's the source of our ability to be here despite everything and anything all through history? It's because Torah gives us life, practically speaking, physically and spiritually. Now, understanding this, we will be able to ask more questions about the Ten Commandments that commentary is raised and be able to explain them. So let's go one by one. What we answered already is, why did Hashem say all the commandments together, even though we did not understand it at once, and then started to say one by one? We explained why 10 things were chosen, right, and what's the meaning of it. Now let's go further. Just here. If you look at the first commandment in Shmot, right, the Torah says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it's page 411, no, even before 409. I am Hashem, your God. No, it's even before. It's 407. Okay, verse number 2. I am Hashem, your God, who has taken you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of slavery. All commentary asks, if Hashem tells us that he is Hashem, it seems that he should have introduced, so to speak, himself to us by saying, I am Hashem, the one who created you. Why is it written here, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt? I've created you. You exist because I give you existence. And according to what we explained today, and it's not the only explanation, the simple explanation, the famous explanation is that at the time of creation, we weren't there. But in Egypt, we witnessed that Hashem is God. So Hashem refers to our experience. That's the simple explanation. Not so simple because this needs, it has depths too beyond the words that I said, but it's not our topic. But let's go further. When the Torah says, I'm Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt, Hashem tells us in other words, I am creating my new reality. When I'm taking you out of Egypt, and the final act of being taken out of Egypt is the receiving of the Torah. As we know, Pesach and Shavuot, are one, the days between Pesach and Shavuot are the days of in between. It's like one long holiday, where the first days are the 7 days of Pesach, the last days of the holiday are Shavuot, and in between the Sfirat HaOmer is like Chol HaMoed, like the middle days of the holiday, right? So when Hashem tells us, I took you out of Egypt, Hashem tells us in other words, I am Hashem, your God, and you know it. Since I took you out of Egypt and you heard it from me, and I planted it inside you. So it's not just information. I am Hashem who took you out of Egypt. Hashem tells us, I am Hashem, your God. You experienced the planting of this idea inside you at Sinai. You know it. And it's so clear that at that time, they couldn't even fathom the concept of doing something against the will of Hashem. Okay? It fills us. So that's why the Torah says, I'm Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt, and not I'm Hashem who created you. Because now it's a new creation. I am Hashem who created the world and created you, that's one story. As a human being, that's one story. One beginning. But now there is another beginning. The beginning of what will be enabling the world to come into purpose. You will be the one to do it, right? And I'm creating now the kind of a person that will be able to do it and is guaranteed to do it because of the fact that these 10 sayings are inside him. Okay? Let's go further. Another question. Where is my phone? I still got a gift for whatever reason. Okay. The order of the commandments is, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt. And then you should not have any other God in front of you. If we think logically, the process usually is the opposite. Let's look at two people. One is Abraham, one person that came to the conclusion that I am Hashem, your God. And the other one is the one that is discussed in the beginning of our week's portion, Yitro, who was another person who came to the conclusion that Hashem is God and there is nobody like him. I'm sorry, that Hashem is God, greater than all the gods. That's what Yitro said. How did they get there? We are told that when Avraham Avinu was young, he worshipped idols. This was the way any child grew up at that time. His father, in fact, had even a shop that sold idols, right? And he was an idol worshiper. And he got disappointed. He saw the nothingness of idols, and he started to search, and while looking into creation, he finally came to the knowledge there is a God. The same with Yitro. We know that Yitro served any God that existed in this world, meaning in other words, he checked and examined any philosophy that people had in his time, so that none of them holds, that they are all false, and this led him to Hashem. So the logical process is you negate everything else, and that's how you come to find what is real. But this is all till the giving of the Torah. From the moment, and it's great, those people who were able in a world of idol worshippers to come there are heroes, and they are all models, Abraham and Yitro. Yitro had something of Abraham in terms of the process, how he discovered Hashem. But after we were given the Torah, we don't need it. We don't do it. You know, if I tell you, on a daytime, on the daytime, when the sun shines, when it's lit up, when everybody is going around doing their business, prove to me that it's not night now. Prove to me that it's daytime. And prove to me that it's not night. It's meaningless. It's so obvious. Who will ask me during daytime, when everything indicates it's daytime, and everybody feels the warmth of the sun and the light and so on, that it's not night? The question doesn't come up even, is it night now? What do you mean? Right? When the Jewish people were at Sinai, and they heard, I am Hashem, your God, as we said, It filled them. It became who they were. This was an alive thing inside them. The question of other gods did not even come as a question. And that's why it's written after. Future generations, when the hiddenness is big, right, is great, and we don't see Hashem with such clarity. Sometimes we have to negate other things if we don't have the source of Torah learning that gives us the right understanding, right? But for a Jew, I'm Hashem, your God, I know it. It's ingrained in me. And you know, even if a person doesn't recognize it consciously, and even if he's not aware of it, it's there. And that's how we understand and see that people, that it was dormant by them for generations, all of a sudden, wake up. See, a young girl that grew up in a secular school, in a secular family, right? All of a sudden, doesn't eat for 7 days bread in Gaza? Something inside her told her that's the right thing to do. Doesn't violate Shabbos. She kept Shabbos before. Obviously, it's inside us. This is what gives us life. This is what makes us who we are. So that's why Anochi, I'm Hashem, your God, is before Lo yeh lecha Elohim acharim. You shouldn't serve other gods because we know it for certain. Let's go further. Usually, Hashem does not attach his name to the name of people who are alive. We say today the name of Hashem attached to Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. That's how we start 18. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam. Blessed are you Hashem, God of the universe. Elokei Abraham, the God of Abraham. Elokei Yitzhak, the God of Yitzhak. Elokei Yaakov, the God of Yaakov. But we do it only after they are not here anymore. Why so? Because while a person is alive, he has free choice. We don't know how he'll end up. After a person lived his life in such a way that he deserves it, then we can say, Elokei, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. But here, Hashem says, I'm Hashem, your God took you out of Egypt. Hashem says it to every one of us. It's in the singular language. But in this pasuk, the singular, I'm Hashem, your God, on the simple level means I have a relationship with you as an individual. I'm your God. I have an individual relationship with you. The other meaning of it is on a general level, it's a nation. I'm Hashem, your God. On an individual, Hashem will not say, I'm your God, till after 120. If he was righteous and deserves it, it will be written about him, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak. But the Jewish nation, at any point, deserves the name, the nation of God. Because of the covenant that was made on Sinai, Hashem connected himself to us and gave inside us, every one of us, and collectively, a brit, a covenant, a connection to him. He put inside us the life of Torah, and as a nation, he will always call us, I'm Hashem, your God. I want to conclude what we are learning with how the Torah describes the giving of the Ten Commandments in the book of Deuteronomy. Okay, in the book of Deuteronomy. The Torah tells us the following. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I pushed something so I wasn't sure. Okay. So I want to go to the Deuteronomy, page 964. where Moshe Rabbeinu, we saw it before when we looked at the Ten Commandments, repeats the story of Sinai to the Jewish people. So I'm in the beginning of chapter 5, 9, no, I'm sorry. It's chapter 4, and it's 964. Yeah, verse number 32. 965, verse number 32. So, speaking about the receiving of the Torah. So inquire, Moshe tells us. Inquire now regarding the early days that preceded you, from the day when Hashem created man on the earth, and from one end of heaven to the other end of heaven. Hashem tells us, inquire, go back in time, from creation till today. And this is true at any point that we read it. It's told to all generations, wherever and whenever you are. We are now in Tafshin Pei Hei, right? 2024, 25, right? So Hashem tells us, go back in history till creation and search from one end of the earth to the other. What should you search for? Has there ever been anything like this great thing? Or has anything like it been heard? There is something that took place that never happened before, wasn't even heard, meaning nobody claims it even, right? Nobody says it, you know, even if it didn't happen, nobody claims it. And what is it? Has the people ever heard the voice of God speaking from the midst of the fire, as you have heard, and survived? And survived is Vayechi, got life. What Hashem says here is not only, did anybody experience a Sinai, a historical event like Sinai, where Hashem spoke to them as a nation, right? Ever? One end of the world to the other end of the world? Of course not, right? That's the chat level. But what is added at the end is, Vayechi. When we heard the words of Hashem, we passed out. We died. And what happened then? This statement of Hashem entered us and gave us life. And it's in us forever. Hashem planted Torah in us, and Torah is the word of Hashem. So the same way that when Hashem said, let there be light, let there be a firmament, let there be a dry land, it created a reality. When Hashem said this word that we heard at Sinai, He gave us a source of life that keeps us as a Jew, as a Jewish nation forever. And this no other nation knows. Other nations have seven commandments, yes. It's a commandment. It's an obligation, do, don't do. The Ten Commandments is not just obligations. They are also obligations, do, don't do. But they are much more than this. It's a covenant. It's godliness entering us and it being in our genes, being in our inside, and we can't escape it even if we want. Thank God we don't want, but even people who want to escape it, they can't. It's inside them, and sometimes at difficult times, it comes to the surface, or sometimes in front of a miracle or in front of a role model, whatever way, right? It comes up. And this is the source of our life. We are an alive nation. I want you to go further to 969. Okay. Nine 971. And it's the Jewish people speaking to Moshe after they heard the two commandments from Hashem and couldn't anymore, he redirected from him. So in verse number 20, the Torah tells us the following. This verse Hashem spoke to your entire congregation on the mountain from the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick cloud. A great voice, never to be repeated, and he inscribed them on two stone tablets and gave them to me. It happened that when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, and the mountain was burning in fire, and all the heads of your tribes and your elders approached me, they said, behold, Hashem our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we heard his voice from the midst of the fire. This day we saw that Hashem will speak to a person and he can live. Meaning that what Hashem spoke to the nation gives us life. That's the specialty of the Ten Commandments. That till today, what keeps us alive as a Jew, what keeps us alive as a nation, is the godliness that Hashem instilled in us when he created this covenant on Sinai. And we know that there was Sinai because it's inside us. Our history proves it as a nation. And what we have inside us that comes up at different times in different levels of strength is to us the ultimate knowledge that Hashem really gave us the Torah and chose us to be his nation. Okay. I'll finish here and open up for questions.
Before we open up, I want to announce the class is Le'ula Nishmas Me'ira Chaya Nechama Bracha Bas David Mordechai. We will open up for questions. All right, ladies, you can unmute yourselves.
Okay, I have actually possibly three, but I'll try to make it two. Okay, for those who are not keeping Torah, but they're alive because in the sense that that the Rebbetzin was saying, so is it that they're asleep and they're just not awake yet?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, the second question
is, this is the source, just yes. A second. This is the source for the promise that no Jewish soul will be lost.
Okay, then the second one has to do with Yisro. So a convert, once they convert, then this life is in them. So why, and it's clear, so why is it that Yisro said, asked Moshe to raise his children to search out for God?
Okay, because he believed that there is virtue in it too. Right?
Yeah.
And it was before the giving of the Torah.
Oh, it was before?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. So
it was before he left Midian, when he married his daughter.
So he didn't convert yet?
What did you say?
So when does Yisro convert?
It's a good question, right? Yeah. But he already believed in one God when Moshe came to Midian, because that's why he was excommunicated.
Right, but he didn't hear the Yisro Sidibros.
No.
So it's interesting that someone can convert beforehand. I'm a little confused.
There are levels of conversion. He believed in Hashem before. The question is not when he accepted that Hashem is God. The question is, when did he come to the Jewish nation? Before the giving of the Torah or after? That's a topic on its own, you know, when he came and which stage of it means.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Okay, anybody else?
Rabbi
Sankaron? Yes.
Yeah. Hi, it's Chavi.
Hi, Chavi.
Hi, I'm sorry, I'm not showing myself yet.
It's okay.
I'm not clear about why Hashem first said all the Dibros together and then separate. I'm not clear about it.
Hashem did not end up saying all 10 separately, right?
Oh.
But he planted inside us all 10 by saying all of them together.
There
is something else to it. When you hear 10 things together, it's not a matter of grasping it logically. You don't hear the words. You don't know what they are, right? It's a neshame thing. It's implanted in the soul.
Okay. And then going back to it to clarify.
Right.
Okay. And then the next question is, I'm not, again, I'm not clear why these 10 specifically. You mentioned kashrus. Why these 10?
Okay, this is a big topic on its own. It's addressing 10 principles or 10 categories of belief. When Hashem created the world, the best way to, I first would recommend the source. We have in our website a class on the 10 commandments, on the 10 plagues, that explains how the 10 plagues correspond to the 10 sayings of creation. And it shows us that what Hashem hid when he created the world, he hid himself, right? Stage after stage, meaning he opened up room for different mistakes that people can make, and hopefully people will not make them. They'll overcome the temptation and choose the right thing. The 10 plagues opened up what was hidden, revealed what was hidden. So we became clear about those 10 things, and we saw that it's not really challenges. It only seems to be a challenge because Hashem is hidden, but they are not really, in essence, a challenge. Everything is clear. When Hashem gave us the 10 commandments, it's called 10 Dibrot. Dibra is statement, saying, but the root Dalet Bet Resh means also leadership. Dabar is a leader. Hashem made us the leaders of mankind, made us in charge of revealing to ourselves constantly more and more these 10 things that have to be very clear and make the whole world realize those 10 things. So every saying of the 10 sayings that Hashem created the world with correspond to one of the 10 plagues, correspond to one of the Dibrot. But it's a broad topic. I think if you listen to the class about the 10 plagues, it will clarify.
Okay, thank you. It's very
Sure.
deep. It's very deep, basically.
Yeah, it is a very deep concept,
Very
and
deep.
it's very hard to explain it in a few
Yeah.
sentences.
Yeah, yeah,
That's
yeah.
why I'm referring you to the source.
Yes. Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay.
Mrs. Cohen, there are people raising their hands to try to be polite to you.
Excuse me?
There are people that are raising their hands on the screen to be polite and not just call out.
You can.
Okay, so go
Can
up.
you see the
Go
raising of the
ahead.
hands?
I see one. I see Javi.
Then me, and that Suri was first when she put her hand up.
Yeah, I see. Okay, so let's go by order. You start and then we'll go further. Sorry, start and then we'll
No,
go further. Yeah.
Suri was the first one who raised her
Okay,
hand.
sorry,
Thank
Desla.
you.
Yeah,
Thank you.
okay,
Thank
go
you. So I
ahead.
just have two questions. Just to clarify again, please, Rebbetzin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the 10 Dibros all at one time. So it was more like a neshama dikur receiving because we couldn't hear it physically. And then Hashem said the two of them individually, and it was too overwhelming, so we fainted. And then Moshe Rabbeinu said it afterwards because it was too much
Right,
for us.
the other eight.
The other eight.
Yeah.
Okay. My second question is about this woman in Gaza who has a natural implanted connection and her essence. So what happens to all of other everyone else in Klal Yisrael that their essence is there?
Everybody will come, including ourselves, to the level we have to come, right? Hashem has time and has patience. He allows us to develop, and when we will be ready, we'll be there.
And I guess we have to have patience for everyone else as well.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. And for our process of growth, too. Not to run to do it stage by stage, but very diligently.
Okay. Thank you.
Very welcome. Okay. Sorry, please.
Yeah, so my question is, it's a little bit of a simple question. I never had this idea when you were saying that they were resurrected with the dew. You were saying also that that will be Tchias HaMesim in the future.
Right, the dew of Torah
Right,
will
so
revive.
what dew is, it sounds like a physical thing, dew, but the Aseret HaDibros is like a not physical thing. So I'm
Of
just trying
course.
to understand what this dew substance
Many
is.
times the Torah speaks about the word of Hashem, es rein, es du, in many places in the Torah. The Torah takes examples from our own reality that we can relate to, but we understand that it's a concept, not just a physical thing, obviously.
So it's sort of like, I feel bad to say this, it's sort of like sprinkled on top of us, not really physically sprinkled on
No,
top
no,
of us.
no. It's Hashem will revive us via Torah. How, we'll see. I can't explain to you
So
how
in other
we will
words,
do.
it's just using that word,
Right,
but it's
exactly.
just using that
It's a
word with a little
concept.
bit more specificity or something like that.
Right.
Yeah,
Okay,
okay,
let's go
thank you.
further.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Javi.
Hi, first of all, I'm glad the Rebbetzin is feeling better. We missed you last week. Mine is a grammatical question, and I think it's Parsha Yisro. I was noticing that the way the Chumash spells Luchos versus in Parshas Ekev, there's no Vav when they spell it in Hebrew. And in Ekev, they have a Vav in the spelling of Luchos. Is that significant in any way?
Again, I didn't understand what you said. It wasn't clear.
The
Not
spelling
what you
of the word.
said, but the voice wasn't clear.
Ah, so can you hear me better?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a grammatical question that in Parshas Yisro, the way the Chumash spells the word luchot has no vav, but in Parshas Ekev, it's
In
lamed vav.
Vayetchanan, it has
Is
vavs.
there a significance to the addition of the letter?
Yes, so that's what I think I explained, but I see that it's not
Okay.
clear. When
I'm
I tell
sorry.
you a list of things you have to do, so I tell you, do this and this and this and this, and this is the verb, right?
Right.
But the Ten Commandments is not just a list of do's and don'ts. That's why we don't call it 10 mitzvot. If it would have been just 10 mitzvot that were chosen from all the rest, it would have created a problem because we have to do all of them by choosing 10 and by those, right? It's 10 things that were ingrained in us. So it's like, I am Hashem your God. Don't kill, don't kill. Entered. Now Hashem said, don't steal, and this enters me. You understand? It's not a list of commandments. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. It's 10 statements of Hashem that penetrate me. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you,
I
Robertson.
don't see all the faces because I see only a part of the, it's more than one screen. So I see one more person, Golda, right?
And Bonnie.
And Bunny. And if there are more, we'll hear you without me seeing the hand. So just speak after. Okay, so let's go to Bunny.
Okay, I was wondering, there are much more spaces between the Lo Tirtach, Lo Tinah in Devarim than in Shemos. Is there a significance for that? I mean, there must be.
I don't know why exactly here, but in general, wherever there is an opening, it's a time to contemplate. Why that is exactly here, I don't know. For example, in Shirat Hayam, the song that the Jewish people sang, right? There is a lot of space in the Sefer Torah. Why? Because it's very loaded words with a lot of in-between thoughts, right? And that's what the space shows. There is an openness here, right? So I intrinsically it's the same thing. Why exactly here? I don't know.
I'm going to say one
Has
is
to check.
bigger spaces. In Shmos, it's smaller spaces, and there it's bigger.
Because in Dvarim we were on a small, on a lower level. It's the second tablets.
It's
So more
bigger.
space to contemplate, I think, right? But I haven't seen it written. But
Thank you so
logically speaking, this is what I would say, right? Without
much.
guarantees that it's the ultimate answer.
Makes sense. Yes, and we're so glad to have
Okay.
you back. Ditto.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Goldie.
Thank you, Rebbetzin. Are you really, do you really have the time? Because I don't have to ask this question
Yeah,
right
yeah,
now.
yeah. No. You deserve
It's
an answer,
okay.
any one of you. Every one of you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. It's so good to hear you.
Likewise.
I get very emotional for no reason. So just
For
don't
good
worry about me.
reasons. Go ahead. Okay.
Okay. I live in Eretz Israel and I live in a small town and it's full of Anglos. That are also, from different countries and are not, quote, from. I mean, they're Shomer Shabbos up to a point, they're kashrus up to a point. Some are like, I'm not religious, that's it. I'm not religious, I don't care. But if I'm confident that the answer isn't that, like, when the truth, like you said, when we realize our true essence and we we are no longer separate. We get it. It's not that I'm just asking if. Oh, there's an echo. I don't know. It's not just like suddenly they'll become religious. It's like I think they'll see how much they were serving Hashem all along and how many mitzvahs they were doing. But, you know, but they, and of course there are many that don't, but we all have things we don't that we do. So just to see the reality of how connected they have been all along, that's all I'm asking you about. That may be part of the revelation.
Yeah, because see, a Jew is a Jew, even if he's totally not religious. Are we able to do what Hamas does in Gaza?
Of
secular
not.
Religious doesn't matter. How much charity is given by by non-religious Jewish people? A Jew is a Jew.
Exactly.
Exactly. You're right.
Right. So this line between the frum culture and everybody else sometimes can get confusing, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Obviously, we wish that all of us will do the maximum we can. And a time will come for everybody.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Okay.
Sure. More questions? Remarks?
Just thought it was such a beautiful class. It happens to be that this is the parsha of the week, but it's very, very special to hear it because it made us who we are, and you did such a beautiful, beautiful job. Where all these psukim I know, whatever, just seeing them inside, and it was very, very special. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Very nice for me to teach, and I apologize for last week. I knew that I cannot teach only in the middle of the night. You know, I had a virus and, you know, there was no time to prepare a substitute. So I apologize.
And there's no need to apologize. Don't teach us to apologize for being sick.
Obviously, I will do anything that I can that a class won't be canceled. Doesn't happen often, but we are not in control. So sorry for it.
Okay. Bad.
There's someone else raising their hand.
It was great.
Somebody else? Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, we go. Esther, go ahead.
You're muted. We can't hear you.
We don't hear you. You are muted.
Yeah. I'm very happy that you're feeling better, number one. And my question is when you talked about how shall Tzkiyas seem and then Tal Shel Torah, are they one and the same thing? Did they have Tal Shel Torah at the first at Har Sinai, or is that the same thing, or was that something else?
It was not clear, their voice.
You said at Har Sinai they had each time they had to be revived, and that you called it Tal Shel Tchiyas HaMeisim,
right.
I believe. But then you said Atid Lavo, it would be Tal Shel Torah would revive us.
It's in both cases the same.
That's what I'm asking.
Tal of Torah, yes.
Okay, so it was the Torah there, it would have been like a Matnaskrinam, because they weren't being maybe Meyage in it, you know, the Osek in it at the mountain.
They put quite a lot of effort from Avraham Avinu till the receiving of the Torah. They were not yet perfect, but they worked hard. And went through very difficult tests.
Right.
In Egypt, at Yam Suf, Amalek that came after, the manna, and many others.
But standing literally at that moment of time with Matan Torah, they weren't paying attention. I mean, were they receiving Torah? I mean, no, that's... They got it like an infusion, is what you're saying?
It was more than this. They also heard and they also got the knowledge of Torah. I just added a dimension to it.
So they actually were working at it at the time, or it was more like a matnas minam?
They worked before to prepare themselves.
Before, so from everything
right?
from
and
before.
Had the experience at Sinai.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I don't know who was first, either Esther or Bonnie.
Yeah, Esther just finished, I think. I just wanted to know where we can access that shiur that was about the 10 plagues that were parallel to 10 Marmaros and that Aseret HaDibros. You know, that years ago it was?
It's no, but I can go into the website and try to find it.
Yeah, it's definitely in the audio library, right? Because it was
Yeah, it's in the audio. It was many
right.
years
It'd be
ago.
like
Many
it
years
would
ago.
be in Parshas Ve'era, maybe, or Shmos.
It will be in Parshas Yitro. In Parshas Bo, go to Parshas Bo, not to Yitro, because it's where the plagues are. In Parashat Bo, right? And it should in the topic should be something about the 10 plagues and the 10 statements or 10 sayings. If you
Thank you.
don't find it,
All right,
email
I'll call the
me
office.
and I'll
Thank
try to
you.
find it for
Thank
you.
you so much.
Okay?
Okay, call to.
Do you read Hebrew fluently? Because if so, I can give you the source, but it's quite difficult. I think
Yes, I can. I can.
the tape will be the best option. And if
Okay.
you don't find it, let me know. I'll try to find it for you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Who else? Okay, so have a good week, and I'll see you in a week in that session.
Thank you very much.
Excellent.
Thank
Thank you so much,
you.
Robertson.
Thank
Thank you
you
so
so
both.
much,
Bye.
Robertson.
Thank you.
Thank you.